I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only Pucko Podcast!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah.
Pucko!
Grab your friends, it's that time again. Listen to the show where the fun never ends. It's Pucko!
Pucko!
Oh yeah.
Pucko!
Your host,
Trigger Dash,
and your co-host.
And welcome to the Pucko Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my remarkable co-host,
Mr. Maximus,
and Sublime Manic.
And as always, we are here to bring you the Pucko Podcast, a nonsensical name that we came up with in 2004. Yeah, that sounds right. It, of course, stands for the Pokemon Underground Champions League. I can't top the one from like 3 weeks ago where we talked about peanut butter and it being like an acronym for peanut butter. Welcome to the Pucko Podcast, the Pokemon Underground Champions League, where we talk everything Pokemon from the video game to the trading card game to even the Pokemon trading figure game from time to time, which actually turned into Pokemon Duel. Fun fact, that mobile app that nobody plays and gets constantly updated.
I think
updated.
Snag plays it.
Does he?
I think Snag plays it.
Okay, so we'll ask him. We'll have to ask Snag because I played it a little bit and then I stopped playing Pokemon Duel and I'm just not a huge fan, personally. But welcome back to the show if you're old. Welcome if you're new. We're, of course, going to be talking some Pokemon today. We're going to be talking about some Pokemon spinoff games. Unfortunately, not Pokemon Duel today, I don't think, unless we get there. But, of course, before we get there, we're going to just do our normal intro. We're going to go ahead, jump into some news, do the Poke Quiz, then the topic, and then close everything out with the Pokemon of the episode and our listener mailbags. So, yeah, let's kick it off. How you guys been doing? We'll start with you, Maximus.
I've been pretty good. As far as Pokemon goes, I've been not playing Pokemon Duel. I've been going on Showdown, trying to get my battling style back in order.
Oh, how's that going?
It's more or less. I definitely know where I'm rusty. Like, I still haven't fully grasped with the new Pokemon that have been introduced in the Generation 7. So I'm still trying to get a feel on how they play their part against some of the Pokemon I know and hold true and dear to my heart, because in my mind, I will always use them no matter where they rank.
Oh man!
And some of them aren't good, not that good anymore. Some of them actually are being used in different ways than I never thought they'd been used, but it works.
Like which ones? Just like as an example.
I'll start with my icon, Gliscor. Mm-hmm. Back in Gen 6, it was my bread and butter when it came to battling. And like, whenever someone saw a Gliscor, people would say, oh, that's Maximus, definitely.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
When I think of Maximus, I think of Gliscor.
You're not wrong, right?
Yeah, because we all have our iconic Pokemon, like our icons that we use for most part. Some of ours are changed, but of course we got Whimsicott, obviously, with the her name being the fluffiest Whimsicott. We know Scrawn, Scrawn is with Crobat.
Well, he's changed because now he's Toxapex, but yeah.
Yeah, well, we're going like back like beforehand. Mm-hmm. Like I said, some of them are changed and then they change to like the new Pokemon. And It's just like that, but
But Snivy will always be in style.
Yes, you're right. You're right, Sublime. Snivy, yeah. Not Superior.
Yeah.
Snivy. I mean, I love Superior too, but it's all about Snivy.
Snivy plays pretty well in Little Cup, though. Fun fact.
That contrary, you know?
Just putting out a little bit of advertisement for Little Cup there. But yeah, anything else, Maximus?
Well, I was saying, I use it more of a special defensive wall than defensive wall now. Mm-hmm. Just said pretty much something like that. With new threats, it's even able to lift ice attacks now to some degree. But other than that, not much.
Oh, interesting. Oh, man. What about you, Sublime? What have you been up to?
I did my very first Pokemon Go Community Day, and it was awesome.
Oh, man. I did that, too.
It was great. Yeah, I got a shiny Dragonite and a regular Dragonite, and actually the regular Dragonite is my very first Pokemon to break the 3000 CP level.
Ooh.
So that was exciting. Yeah, my Lugia was super close, but I don't have enough candy for it at the moment. And then yeah, it's just been going good. Life is busy, but next week is spring break, so I'll probably play some Pokemon.
Oh,
then
that's true. The next week is spring break. Oh, man.
For those who get it.
Yeah, right? But my favorite part about spring break isn't that I get to not go to school. It's that I don't have undergraduates to work with. That's
so
my
they don't
favorite
show
part.
Up. That's, yeah, that's great, too. Yeah. I don't have to deal with children.
That's my favorite part.
There's no traffic in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. No, my favorite part about spring break is legitimately just, like, nobody being on campus. I can get a way better parking spot, and I can just go to work and not be bothered.
Everyone wins.
Yeah, I'm okay with going to work those days. I mean, it's my life at this point, right? Yeah. Outside of Puckle, like, my life is doing science. And so, I mean, I don't mind going in because what else am I going to do? Like, I guess I'll do laundry. That's about it, though, right? Like, I'll take care of things around the house, but in between, I'm either working on Puckle or I'm working on some kind of data set. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, no, spring break, that's true. It's happening. That's true. Oh, man. So outside of that, I've been working on my thesis, and that's pretty much it. Like, that was my life this week.
That is your life for the next 2 months.
Yeah, well, hopefully before then, I'll be done with it because I'm supposed to. So the way the system works is I have to have the thesis done 2 weeks before I defend because I have. Well, it's mostly because, like, because the thesis gets published and they want to go ahead and they want to publish it on the whatever on their website or whatever, but they want it in a certain format, and so I have to go put it in this certain format, and then 2 weeks before my thesis defense, they go and they like check all the formatting for 2 weeks, and then they'll make sure it's okay so that when I defend, and I'll probably pass without a problem there, hopefully, with fingers crossed. And that's the big thing. You have to do that. And so trying to get it done, I'm trying to get it done by the end of spring break. By like the 16th or something, I'm kind of hoping to have it done. We'll see, though. We'll see. But that is going to be it for this right now. We'll kick it on over, though, guys, to the news. So let's cue that epic music.
Town Radio Tower. This just in.
All right, and welcome to the news. In the news, we have a few stories. Not too many, but a few. So first of all, if you are signed up for the Pokemon Trainers Club newsletter, you can go ahead and check your email inboxes here in the next week or two, and you should be able to get your Regigigas/Heatran code, whichever game you're going to use it with. So that's how you get those this month. Unfortunately, if you haven't already signed up, you're not going to be able to get it. That's unfortunate. That is unfortunate for all of you, but you could ask a friend. Maybe you could find a friend, or you could just be like, oh man, I've been playing Pokemon for 20 years, so I already have like 7 Regigigas, and not worry about it. That's my frame of mind.
Yeah, I'm disappointed because I'm going to get the wrong one.
Which one? You're going to get Regigigas probably, right?
Yeah, I want to eat Tran.
Yep. It depends on version. It's pretty much which one is version exclusive. In your version, that's the one you don't get. Also, it's really weird that they made Heatran and Regigigas version exclusives in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, by the way.
Completely.
That is really out of left field. But, oh well, that's the thing that's happening. If the next thing is, on Pokemon Day, which was earlier this week on the 27th of February, they actually had, they revealed a full-on trailer for the next Pokemon movie, Pokemon the Movie 21, which actually looks, I mean, I'm curious about it. I'm interested with it. Just because they're no longer just using these like side stories for the Ash that we know. It's some other universe's Ash that's on these adventures. I'm really happy that they're going to keep going with this. It's such an interesting idea. And it allows them to do way more than they have been able to do before because they're no longer constricted by what Ash has going on. And it looks mm-hmm. like Lugia's in it. They're bringing back some aspects from Pokemon the Movie 2000. So, I mean, if they could just do Pokemon the Movie 2000 again, but better, I'm totally down for it.
And that's a good movie.
Yeah, right?
That's one of the good ones.
I don't know what you guys think about it, but I'm definitely going to see it if it's in theaters again.
I saw Pokemon 2000 in theaters.
Well, did you see, did either of you go to see Pokemon the 20th movie when it was in theaters last year? What?
No, I did not.
There were a ton of them down in Texas. I'm surprised.
I just didn't feel like going to a Pokemon movie. The bar is not set high. The bar has not been set high until recently, so I was like, not going to spend money to go see it at a theater.
Well, did either
especially because they end up on Netflix like 6 months later.
Well, did either of you see Pokemon the 20th movie yet?
Not yet.
Ooh. Wait, the 20th movie? Yes, I have.
The one where Pikachu talks? I mean, what did you think, Maximus? I thought it was decent. I thought it was a good movie.
I had fun with it. Like I said, I didn't see it in theaters, but mm-hmm. it was enjoyable. As far as like, just me being a Pokemon fan, I just enjoyed it.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that. I mean, I think they just watched it yesterday for the movie night. So that was, I don't know how many people showed up. I forgot to talk to Linian about that. Because I was unfortunately busy or I would have been there. But yeah, the Pucko movie night, they just did that this past week. So I honestly am very excited for these, this next movie. Just because Lugia, and it's one of the coolest Pokemon because, you know, it was the whole second generation thing. The first time we're adding Pokemon. And it was just a really cool thing to think about. So I'm all for Pokemon the Movie 21. I can't wait to see more. We got some details about some of the characters. They're just like, there's like a bunch of characters. There's that girl that we saw earlier in like the brief trailer we had with like the rainbow hair. She is an Eevee. There's another guy that has a pseudo-Wudo, a professor that has a Chansey, and then some old lady that has a Togepi, Smoochum, Totodile, and Meryl. Now, I don't know if she actually owns them or if these are just Pokemon that follow her around, but that's something that they have. And there's another girl as well. So I'm really curious. I'm really curious to see what happens.
Wait, what was the Pokemon list again for that last group?
That last group, it was Totodile, Smoochum, Togepi, and Meryl. If you watch the trailer, it looks like she's yelling at the Pokemon for following her, but they keep following her anyway.
Isn't it kind of weird of that list? Because that list just, something just popped into my mind when you said that list.
Oh, it's because, all Gen 2.
Yeah, I know, but would anyone think that has like some connection to Misty or some sort? Because those are Pokemon that A, she has.
Not Smoochum.
Or Pokemon that she wanted. Because in the anime, she wanted Totodile and Smoochum in Gen 2.
That's true. You're actually right. Yeah. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I thought it was just cute that they had these like little Pokemon following her around. I'm sure Totodile is going to be the star.
They'll give you everything but Misty because they won't let you have Misty in a movie.
Yeah.
I just found that weird when you said that list. Like, wait a minute. Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
The actual plot narrative came out as well, and it says, once a year, a wind festival, oh my gosh, I'm really bad talking today, is held in Fira City, the city where people live together with the wind. While the ancient belief that the legendary Pokemon Lugia will appear and bring about the blessed wind on the final day of the festival still exists, the peoples that gather in the city participate in the festival while wrapped up in their own thoughts. Lisa, the high schooler and Pokemon rookie. Kakashi, the braggart that just can't stop telling tall tales. That's the guy with the pseudo-Wudo. Trito, the timid researcher that lacks confidence. He has a Chansey. Hisu, the old eccentric that hates Pokemon. Okay, there it is. There it is. Yeah, in the trailer, she just starts yelling at the Totodile, Meryl, Smoochum, and Togepi. So we just have like all these small Pokemon that are just following her around. Largo, the mysterious little girl that hangs around in the forest all by herself. She doesn't have any Pokemon from this trailer. And then these are the people that Ash and Pikachu meet. That meeting makes everyone's story start start moving forward. That's really interesting. I'm very curious.
Do you think that they're doing these movies like as their own thing in part because of the anime taking a different aesthetic?
I don't know if it's because it's taking a different aesthetic. I think the anime in general is just taking a huge like turn in what it wants to do, because the anime just had like that huge arc with Sogaleo and Lunala. And I love that, by the way. Like, I think that's fantastic that the anime is starting to embrace more legendaries in a more participatory way than it did prior. And I think that's awesome, especially in a world where they seem to just be like, Ash can just do whatever he wants every day. And then we get an episode where Ash, like, raids a fridge. And so it's just amazing. So good for them. And I just like the anime is becoming something that I think I could watch more and more. Just because, not because of the art style change or anything, just because the story directions they're taking with it.
Yeah, something that always bothered me when it came to the movies. Is it weird that it's always convenient that there's always a festival or a celebration that they're always running into in these movies?
Right? I mean, it happens a lot in the anime early on, too, though. Like, there's just, like, a ton of random events they walk into. Like, you're walking...
At that specific moment, not, like, a week later or...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, I don't know. It is really interesting.
I feel like you could rationalize it, because if you're on a Pokemon journey, they probably schedule it for like people to experience all the festivals on their journey.
Well, that makes sense, because if you remember Gen 1, like the Indigo Plateau and probably some of Johto, there's like a guidebook that Brock has that he always uses to reference where they're going and stuff like that.
Yep.
So I could agree with that. I can see that. But okay, so let's move on then. So the next thing that's really interesting for those of you competing in the Pokemon VGC is that the International Challenge is coming up from the 23rd to the 25th of March. You can register from the 15th to the 22nd, and all battles are VGC. I believe you get 15 battles a day. Everyone who enters will get 50 battle points, but if you compete and you do well, you'll actually be eligible for championship points on top of that. So keep that in mind. So that's really interesting, though. So if you want a chance to try to get some battle points, and I can sit on my couch in my underwear and do that, this is your opportunity. It's your opportunity. I'm going to see if I can get into it, but like you all know, I'm working on my thesis, so I don't know if I'll have time. So we'll see how that goes. But it's really interesting. I like that they're doing that again. They do it like once every 3 months or something like that, it seems. So good on them. Good on them. I don't know what the championship point payout is for that either, though. And then the final piece of news, which is probably the biggest story, let's be completely honest, is that there's Pikachu talk for the Amazon Alexa.
I have downloaded it yesterday. Hold up. Do you want me to use it right now?
I do not want you to use it right now at all.
Okay, I won't use it right now. I could. I have the technology. It's fun for about 5 minutes and then there's nothing else to do.
Okay. Yeah.
It's great. You can imagine it just says its name. Happy birthday. That's probably the most fun thing to do. Wish you a happy birthday.
I just got an Echo for my birthday because it was one of those things I would never buy because I'm scared of Amazon listening to me. And so my in-laws decided to buy me an Echo for my birthday because I just bought like a bunch of smart lights for my house.
Because, I love smart lights.
Oh yeah, no, I love it, and I honestly only bought them to build a sunrise alarm clock in my room, without having to buy a sunrise alarm clock. That's like $150. I can go buy some smart light bulbs for like $50, and it's been really helpful. But the really nice thing with the Amazon Alexa is like I could just go, or the Echo is I could just tell it to turn the lights on and off. So that's pretty cool.
Yep.
But
I tell it to turn the TV on and off. It's everything.
Wow, man. I guess I for one welcome our future overlords, Amazon.
I mean, they were already listening to you anyway.
Kind of, right? All right, so that is going to be it for the news in Pokemon. We're going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we're going to quiz your host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. As always, they are only allowed to use what's in their brains, so no internet allowed. They have to answer these questions based on what they know about Pokemon. So the goal of the game is to get to 30 points. over several weeks. Our co-hosts are going to be acting as a team for those of you who are new to the show, and they will be trying to answer these questions. There are going to be 5 questions. One of them is going to have a bonus point, so that's a total of 6 questions. However, they are allowed 1 hint for all 5 questions, so they can choose which question they want to use the hint on. And if they can get all of the questions correct without using the hint, they can also cash that hint in for a possible total of 7 points. And Sublime is actually pretty close. He said 18 points, tied with Scrawn for first place right now. And we're going to see how that goes. So we have that going on. And yeah, those are the rules. That's how everything's ready. So if you guys are ready to go, I will ask you the first question.
I was born ready.
All right, then. So question number 1 and number 2, by the way, come from Claude9. And he wants to know, guys, when you catch a Corsola in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, you have a 5% chance that it'll be holding this unique item. This is the only way to get this item in Generation 7. What item is it?
Oh, not a pearl. It's not, let's see, not a bottle cap. Does Corsola have like a coral piece or something like that on it? I'm trying to think.
I have no idea. You catch a Corsola, so it's in the decks, and you never touch it again. Yeah, or you catch it in Pokemon Go to brag about you having it because it's so rare.
The only time I was fighting Corsola is when I was trying to get a what's that Pokemon name? I know the evolved form, but
Marini.
Marini, there we go. That was the only reason I was even fighting Corsola to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Is this like a battle item or it's just an item?
I feel like that would be giving a hint.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? You want to talk about hints?
Uh-oh.
Let's talk about hints.
Here we go.
I will say it is an item that can be used in battle. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, then I'm
going to need an answer, though.
You think it's just like a hard stone?
No, you can get those. You can get those
from anything. You're right.
From other rock Pokemon.
I need an answer.
Oh, what if it's a deep marvel scale? That's something rare-ish, right? I have no idea.
Hey, go for it. That's a better guess than
I mean, I can't think of any. Whatever. Let's just say deep marvel scale.
That is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is luminous moss.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Although, you know what? I bet that's not the only way you can get it. I bet you can
It's the only way you can get it in Generation 7, apparently.
You can't buy it in the battle tree? I bet you could.
You cannot. However, it looks like... I'm double checking for you guys just to make sure. But even then, I'm still not going to give it to you. The only way to get it outside of catching a Corsola and it holding it is that if you use a potion on the Corsola on the beach in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, it will give you a luminous moss as well.
That's very peculiar.
So that is the only other way to get a luminous moss. So the next question is also from Claude9, and he wants to know, what does the luminous moss do?
Oh, I know this one. I know this one, actually. Yeah. I believe it boosts a stat when you are hit with either a grass or a water type move. Let me think this through. Yeah, because it boosts a stat when you're hit by a specific type of move. I think it's a defensive stat, but I'm not 100% sure about that.
What's your answer?
I feel like it gets boosted with a water type or grass, but I'm not sure which. What do you think?
I find it weird if it's grass, because it's Corsola. It's just all the fat grass is 4 times effective. I just kind of find it a little weird.
Like, I know I've seen this for sale in previous generations.
But sure, there are other items I've seen this happen to, just the moss. Before this question,
I think it's water. I think it's water. Because it would make sense for grass to eat grass, but moss, you know, needs water. And it's under the ocean. So I think it's when you get hit by a water-type move. I want to say it boosts your special defense. Because it was like, there's a bunch of like items like that. There's like the battery.
I'm going to need an answer.
I'm going to say that it boosts your special defense when you're hit by a water type move. It's good for surf shenanigans, I think. Yeah. In double.
Is that your final answer?
It is. I think it is, because I don't know what else it could be.
All right. That is correct. The Luminous Moss boosts The holder's special defense by one stage when it is hit by a watertight move. So there we go. That's 1 point for you guys today. Things are looking good. Things are looking good for you. All right. So next question is going to come to you from, let's see who sent me one. It is from Sparky on the Discord server. This one is worth 2 points. If you get one point for each answer, as always. So
okay.
In Generation 1, what types inflicted super effective damage on each other, but do not do this in later generations?
Wait, repeat that one more time.
In Generation 1, what two types of Pokemon inflict super effective damage on each other, but do not do it in later generations?
So it's on each other, not on themselves.
Not on themselves,
I'm confused
other.
Of how he said it. I'm kind of...
So these two types, if they used it, if they attacked each other, they would do super effective damage to each other. So a move of type A would be super effective on a Pokemon of type B, and a move of type B would be super effective on a Pokemon of type A.
Got it.
Well, I know it's is it a like combination of types? Because I know
it's just two types.
It's two types. Just two types.
Oh, okay, because I was concerned because I know like in Gen 1, like let's say you were facing a Charizard versus an Articuno. An Articuno can shoot a super effective ice beam at a Charizard, even nowadays it'll be neutral. Mm-hmm. Because back then flying types were, the whole ice and flying thing was kind of iffy on that aspect, even though it would be neutral today. Like, fire mm-hmm. types didn't cancel out ice types back in the day because it didn't matter.
Yeah, this is true.
That's why I was kind of concerned, it's a combination of types or, like, certain aspect. But, okay, so it's just one mm-hmm. specific type.
Well, two. Well, there's two types.
Well, two.
But yeah,
well, two
yeah but there, it's one specific type, yeah. So you have, like, a 1 out of 17 chance of getting one of them.
1 out of 15, actually.
Oh yeah, 1 out of 15. Yeah, you're right. Yep, absolutely.
Well, not normal. Not any of the elemental stuff. Or at least the water, grass.
What were the types that got changed when they updated the type chart?
Oh, psychic, ghost, it's not dragon. That's super effective nowadays. Ghost is super effective nowadays to each other. So
I know bug changed.
So it has to either be bug, poisoned, or like some of the less valuable ones back in the day.
I know bug got changed in the type in Gen 2. So I think I want to say bug is one of them.
And I kind of want to say poison because poison was only secondary, but and you said the types were super effective, but they were not effective, super effective anymore, correct?
They are not super right. effective anymore. Only in Gen 1 was this true.
Well, Gen 1 has a lot of bugs and poisons, I feel like, so maybe that is what it is.
Is this your final answer?
I'm going to go with I like that I put forth bug. Are you confident with the poison?
I'm just thinking of the other types, but real quick, but I can't really think of any other types that would this affect besides dragon, but dragon's so effective nowadays, so that's not it. So I'm going to say poison.
That is correct on both accounts. It is bug and poison. Bug used to be super effective to poison types, and poison types used to be super effective to bug types. Fun fact.
Well, teamwork makes the dream work.
Right, there you guys go. That gives you guys 3 points for today out of the four that you've had a chance to get. So we're on to the next question. So this next question comes from me because I found it out today while I was trying to make up a topic for today, but then Sublime came up with a much better one. While I was perusing Reddit, I found this fun fact out, though. And I want to know if you guys know what Pokemon is considered the rarest and most difficult to catch in all of Pokemon to have been the hardest one to locate.
Wait a minute. To acquire? When you say catch.
To catch. Not like a mythical.
Is this not counting events? Not counting events.
This is only counting in-game catchability. So this is in terms of, you have to think probably, I will give you a free hint, is that it used to be under 1% if you consider all the factors you need to include in catching this Pokemon.
It could be caught easier now, but at one point it was the hardest?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, my guess off the back is going to be Phoebus.
Wait, is the fine?
Also, don't forget you have a hint. You have the hint still, and you can't cash it in.
Is this the last question?
Before the stack question, yes.
Then we might as well use the hint, yeah.
So I'm going to say Gen 4. It's a Gen 4 Pokemon.
Oh. Maybe Spiritomb. I know Spiritomb was pretty tricky.
Huh.
No, I don't know.
I don't know. Like, you only got like one shot to catch it in like Gen 4.
You get one shot to catch Rotom, but I feel like Spiritomb, you have to do a lot of things.
Cannot Rotom. There's no way. That thing was like eager to get caught.
Yeah, it's just that there's only one of it. All I can think of is Spiritomb, but I don't feel like that's it.
That's a better guess. It's definitely not the legendaries. At least I don't.
Oh believe- wait, how hard is it to catch Lunala?
Gen 4. This is Gen 4. I gave you the hint. Gen 4.
Yeah,
and I'll go one step further and say it has to do with trees.
Okay, that's a good hint. Gen 4 trees. Gen 4 trees. Maybe it's got to do with the tree, and it's in Gen 4. So
Gen 4 had a fun mechanic with trees.
And it wasn't just headbutting them? Nope, that was Gen 2.
Nope.
Wait, what about the honey? No, honey thing was still Gen...
The honey thing was Gen 4.
Gen 4. Oh, the honey thing was Gen 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that wasn't hard. I don't think... Or was it? Maybe there's like a super rare Pokemon. Oh! Wait a minute. Trees. Honey. Isn't Munchlax really hard to catch?
Really? Wait a minute.
Munchlax was introduced.
The fine percentage. Well, I'm still confused by the way...
So you have an encounter rate, but then there's also things that can affect the counter rate. And so because I already ruled out Feebas for you, Feebas is a good example of this. Feebas had you had to go find the specific three tiles that Feebas was in, but it could already
and
have
it
a low.
It was like already changing which tiles it was, and it was like Feebas like will die for all of our sins because it put us through the work. I think it's Munchlax. I feel like Munchlax was supposed to be really rare in Gen 4, and I think you got it through the honey. Because Munchlax is a Gen 4 Pokemon, isn't it?
Yes. Technically, yes. Even though it showed up before Gen 4.
Is that your final answer?
I can't think of a better answer.
You can go with Munchlax.
That is correct.
Yes!
The answer is Munchlax, because... Okay, so here we go. So there are 21 trees, honey trees, in Sinnoh. That you can lather honey on. And of those trees, 3 to 4 of them will be capable of finding a Munchlax with a 1% encounter rate. These trees are predetermined by your secret ID and your trainer ID. So it's really difficult to find a Munchlax because you have like a 1/7 of 1% chance to get a Munchlax. And on top of that, unlike Feebas, you can't just, like, keep staying in the same spot. You have to, like, keep putting honey on the tree, wait 12 hours, come to the tree, and then do it again for that 1% chance. It's absolutely...
Now they just give you one, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely awful. Yeah.
Or you can just breed for it, which is probably
easier. Well, you could breed for it back then, too, but if you were, like...
Which is probably easier, but if you're trying to catch it, yeah.
If you're trying to catch it, it's awful.
Yeah, thank you for that hint, because I wouldn't have figured it out without the hint. Okay. And I'm like, wait a minute, Munchlax is ridiculous. Yeah, I remember Munchlax being weird. I didn't know how weird it was, but I know it was weird.
All right, so next question, as always, is a stat question. And I want to ask you guys about special attack. And I want to know which normal-type Pokemon has the highest space special attack.
Oh, I actually know this off the bat because I try to memorize these, and it's a three-way tie, I'll have you know.
It actually is, yes.
Yes, Mega Pidgeot, Porygon Z, and what's the third one? Mega Pidgeot, Porygon Z, and one more that I can't remember at this moment.
Oh, what else?
So can I get 2 points for that because I know two of the three?
No.
What's the third?
I'll give you one.
If you give me a minute, I might come up with a third too.
If you come up with a third, maybe I'll consider it. But
all right. So I know it's either 130 or 135 is the number.
I'm glad that you went and memorized all of these.
Yeah, I'm like, if I know them all, it's a guaranteed point, and it's not that hard. Most of them are like, oh, it's a mega evolution or a legendary, right? It's not that hard to have these memorized for six things for 18 types. Like, it's
oh
not.
Oh, gosh. Yep.
some of them are the same, too. So
yeah, a lot of them, there's like overlap, right? Like, okay, so.
What's the third one?
Special attack. What is the third one? Special attack north.
What is it, like 165?
No, it's 135.
I'm way off then.
Yeah, no, you've got Porygon-Z, Mega Pidgeot, and what was the other? Nope, that would be Mega Kangaskhan, the other normal Mega Evolution. It's not that. I kind of, no, it's not slacking, I don't think. Oh, you know what? I want to say Mega Audino. I want to say Mega Audino might be the third one.
I don't think so. No. It's more of a defensive monster.
It is defensive, but it was more especially. You're right. I don't think it's Mega Audino anymore. Is it a Mega?
I'm not gonna give you that.
okay.
There's not that many Mega normal Pokemon.
No, there's like two or three, and Mega.
Just give me your
Pidgeot
answers. I need your answers. You gotta turn in your work.
Okay, so there's Porygon-Z, Mega Pidgeot, and...
I need it now.
I'm just going to go with slacking. Regigigas.
That is correct on two, but incorrect on one. The third one you're looking for is actually Drampa.
Drampa! I should have known
base 130,
yeah.
But Porygon-Z and Pidgeot, Mega Pidgeot fit the bill, so that's perfectly fine with me. So that gives you one, two, three... 4 or 5 points today? Yeah, 5. You guys did pretty well.
That's quite good.
That's pretty good. That's higher than the average.
I'm glad I've learned all of the stats.
Now that I know that, I got to start asking lowest stat questions.
I'll memorize those too.
Sunkern, and then we got...
So the rankings have changed, though, by the way, pretty significantly. Let me sort these... So Sublime is now in first place with 23 points, followed up by Scrawn in second place by 18 points. In third place, we have Jushiro with 8 points, followed up by Maximus in fourth with 7 points. In a four-way tie for fifth, we have Bosefus, Basket, Shamu, and Snag with 6 points. In ninth place, we have Vigor and Whimsicott tied. And in 11th place, we have Gator. So that's where we are here today, guys, and we are going to take a short break, and we'll be right back at you with the topic.
Hey, Puckalonians, it's Sublime Manic. Can't get enough of your favorite flip-flopping podcast? Then check out our social media. You can find links to our Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, and YouTube all from our website, pucklepodcast.com. And you can join our Discord to hang out with your favorite hosts and other Puckalonians. Also, check us out at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. And if you have an Amazon Prime account, consider subscribing to our Twitch channel. You can also check us out at YouTube at youtube.com/pucklepodcast. And we also have a Patreon if you're able to give anything at patreon.com/pucklepodcast.
And welcome to the topic. The topic today is going to be favorite spinoff games. So we're all just going to kind of get together and talk about our favorite spinoff games. And we're all going to explain why it's Pokemon Conquest and why. Sublime said before the show that you have never played Pokemon Conquest.
Which is a travesty, I realize, because
I
love
can't believe you haven't played
tactical RPG. Yeah. Like, I'm the biggest Fire Emblem fan in the world, and I have not played Pokemon Conquest.
Because... I haven't played it either, but
what?
I'm not a big fan of Fire Emblem.
Okay, that at least that's not as much of, like, a travesty, but, like...
Yeah, like, it is a travesty for me not to have played it, because Fire Emblem is the jam.
I still think you both should play it.
We can play it. Just let's say, like, I knew I wasn't gonna like that game at first. That's why I didn't go for it as soon as it came out.
Let's order it on Amazon right now.
How much is it on Amazon? Let me know that.
Let me
like,
tell
right
you
now, because
I'm
gonna believe it's very expensive.
It is $82.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive. I think when you buy it used now, even at GameStop, it's still like $40.
Jesus. I'm just going to download it digitally if I can then.
It's not. It's a DS title.
Oh, that's why. Well, damn.
That's why. Mm-hmm.
Really? Because
well, damn.
$24.99.
Where at?
Where?
GameStop.
Yeah, okay, there we go. GameStop is probably the place to get it used. Absolutely.
All right, I have to do grocery shopping today anyway, so I'm gonna stop by the GameStop and see if I can get this.
I'll check your store to see if they have it though.
Yeah. Okay. Check. I'm gonna see if there's even actually one in my area.
I'm looking at it's different from where you live.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, they have it here. True. Oh yeah, they have it at a few of them here. So I mean, they're scattered all around Columbus, Ohio. So you could definitely pick up. I would imagine you'd be able to find one. But it's one of those games that like somewhat maintained its value because I think it was like a $30 game when it came out, and so they're selling it used for $25. And I think it's honestly like a diamond in the rough because every time I bring it up, there's always like three or four people are just like, I don't know Pokemon Conquest. I have no idea what this game is.
Yeah, and like it's a strategy game, right? But like,
yeah, and so it's based on there's
this how other... similar is it to Fire Emblem? Let me ask you that.
Well, so this game isn't based on like Fire Emblem. It's not like it's not an exact like Pokemon to Fire Emblem mapping exactly.
Sure, but so it's the same genre.
Yeah, it's based on another game series called Numbunga's Ambition, which is only in Japan, and it's still a tactical RPG. However, unlike Fire Emblem, where you know you get some maps that where you bring like 13, 14 units, right? This one's always limited to I believe 4 or 5 units max, and you get mm-hmm. generic ones every once in a while. And all of your mm-hmm. characters have a Pokemon, and they have a bond with said Pokemon. There's some wild Pokemon encounters that you can have as well. So, like, you can have a warrior. That's what your characters are called in this scenario. You can have a warrior go, and they'll go to a location, and they'll find some wild Pokemon there. They'll battle the wild Pokemon, and there's a chance that they'll bond with that Pokemon. And some of them have different maximum bonds with certain species of Pokemon, which sure. complicate things further because you need a certain bond percentage to be able to evolve them and stuff like that, which is an interesting mechanic in and of itself. So that should be kept in mind. So unfortunately, I think the only way to get Superior in that one is through an event that was occurring when the game came out.
Well,
it's really stupid.
It.
So, but it's still a fun game. It's still worth it.
Yeah,
it came out in Gen 5.
I'm going to get it. It's at one of the GameStops right next to where the Whole Foods is. So we're buying it today.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. I would suggest purchasing it just because it's a tactical RPG. You move Pokemon on a map. They use a Pokemon move. It's essentially what I wanted Pokemon Mystery Dungeon to be, but it's not. You're also using Pokemon to take over kingdoms and stuff like that. Oh, thank you. And if we're going to go ahead and you can do all of those things, you can go and catch certain Pokemon, and you take over kingdoms, and you try to stop this man Numbunga from taking over the world. But then there's like 50 hours of post game content as well, in terms of like different things you need to try to complete after you've conquered the kingdoms. It's a fun game. I'm gonna go replay
fun.
It now.
Yeah, I'm gonna go get it today.
I'm gonna go replay it after this. But I definitely suggest if you're looking for a game to play, and you want more Pokemon but in a different genre, that is the game to go play. And I think it's $25. It's not terribly stupid or anything. And it's not terribly stupid expensive like Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver, which are now more expensive than they were when they were new. So that's something to keep in mind, especially if you want to play it. So that is my vote for best Pokemon spinoff game ever and always. But
we saying favorite now? Because I thought we were just talking about the ones we like.
Oh, no, I'm talking about my favorite.
Oh, okay.
So my favorite is available on two different platforms,
oh, yeah?
And you can actually download it now because it's on the Virtual Console. It was originally on the Nintendo 64, and that would be Pokemon Puzzle Challenge.
Oh, that one? That actually had like a minor spinoff, too, in the Game Boy Color?
That's the one I'm talking about that you can go get right this second.
Well, you can get both of them right this second, actually. If you want the one for the N64, that one is on the Wii U/Wii.
It's on the Wii. It's not on the Switch.
It's not on the Switch yet. We don't, unfortunately, have a Virtual Console on the Switch yet. So you can't get on the Switch.
Yeah, I'm not going to download that on my Wii, but I will on the Switch if it comes to it.
Exactly. We're all waiting for that. We're all waiting.
Yeah, I mean, I have the spinoff for the Game Boy Color on my 3DS.
Yeah,
so
they actually were running a sale on that when it initially came out. And it's one of the games that when Nintendo does a sale on the eShop, that's usually on sale with everything else.
It's a fun game to pass the time.
Yeah, it's just like it's a match the blocks together game, right? It's
yep.
just, yeah.
It's unique.
Yeah, it is. And that's, honestly, that's one of those puzzle games that is probably only popular because they got the Pokemon Coat of Paint on it.
Yeah, Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, it got the Pokemon coat of paint. And that was actually the story of the first one when it came out, Pokemon Puzzle League on the N64. It was just supposed to be some generic puzzle game.
I played that so much as a kid. It was so much fun.
It was supposed to just be some generic puzzle game, but then somebody was just mm-hmm. like, oh, what if we put the Pokemon anime characters on it? And then they did that, and it sold really well. I think that only happened in America, too. Let me double check.
Just America. It wasn't in Japan.
Yeah, because it was just a puzzle game in Japan, if I remember correctly.
Right, because like you get to play as Ash, and he gets to choose Squirtle, and this was at the height of the anime. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that makes total sense.
I'm double-checking this, because it was. I think it was definitely supposed to just be for... It was only the Pokemon coat of paint in the U.S.
Yeah, that was impressive for the time being, having like actual animation on the card, like, for the time being.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. Actually, just as like a side note, that's not a game. Do you guys remember those little Game Boy Advance cartridges that they put videos on?
Yeah.
So you could watch videos on your Game Boy Advance.
I did not.
Plus you had like e-reader cards too. You can do the same thing.
Oh
there.
Man, the e-reader cards were pretty cool. I've been actually like thinking about trying to collect all of the e-reader cards from back in the day.
Good luck.
Yeah, I know, it's expensive. Some of them get pricey. But just so I have access to like all of the fun little mini games, because I remember Nintendo Power, first when the e-reader came out, actually gave away like a Ho-Oh and a Rapidash card that were e-reader compatible. And if you swiped those, you got this cool little mini game where like it was a Rapidash jumping through hoops. So it was cool. It was an interesting little thing. And I know there were a ton of other e-reader card games though. And that was right when like I was like 13, 14. So I was just like, oh man, I don't care about buying Pokemon trading cards anymore. It's too complicated. I've been out of it for like 3 sets. And now look at me. Look at me now. I've just devolved into this horrible, horrible, money spender on Pokemon cards. Absolutely awful. And I dragged my wife into it with me. And she more than
And now me. She's more invested than you.
Absolutely, actually. Like I was,
I know she's the collector.
Yeah, I was. Well, so like I was building a deck, and so like I needed a couple cards, and I was ordering them last night. I was ordering some Magnezone from Ultra Prism because I'm working on a Duskmane Necrozma deck, which I think everybody in the world is working on, and so I wanted some Magnezone because we already have one, but I know she wants to keep it in her binder, so I'll just buy 3 of my own, and then we were, and so she came up and she was. She saw I was buying cards, and she's just like, oh, well, I need a Shining Celebi to finish the Shining Legends. So I bought a Shining Celebi, and then that's just our relationship. It's fine. There's no problems there. If we're both in it, it can't be bad, right? So it's Pokemon Puzzle League. Yeah, for the Game Boy Advance, or the Game Boy Color, you can go buy that now. That one's actually really interesting because like there's a bunch of Pokemon you can get for that.
Yep.
And like there's so many different ways to get the Pokemon. Let me see if I can find it. Pokemon Puzzle Challenge. It's Pokemon Puzzle Challenge on the Game Boy Color, and it's Pokemon Puzzle League on the N64. Same exact game, just a different platform.
Well, like the 64 was a little bit better because it has this spiral.
Yeah, it's got like a 3D mode.
That was really cool, yeah. So it was a lot harder than the Game Boy Color. I mean, it's a hard game once you play it at like max difficulty. It goes real mm-hmm. fast.
Yeah, so
fun
you have
thing.
A... Yeah, go for it.
No, just it was a fun game.
Fun game. That's what you said. I thought you said one thing. And I'm like, oh, okay,
no,
go for
fun
it.
Fun game, sorry.
All right, and so there are actually more usable Pokemon. So when you start the game, you get Chikorita, Cyndaquil, Totodile, because they're just like, hey, remember Gen 2? It's a thing. And the only Gen 1 Pokemon in here, surprisingly, is Pikachu. So you can get Pikachu by defeating the gentleman after doing a 6-block combo in challenge mode. Sentret is available after defeating a beauty after doing a 7-line chain in challenge mode. Pichu is available if you defeat the Pokéfan after playing for over 4 minutes before Claire in challenge mode. Togepi is available after you defeat the Pokéfan after doing a 10-block combo in challenge mode. Blossom is defeat the last after defeating a trainer in 25 seconds in challenge mode. Meryl is available after defeating the gentleman. You defeat the gentleman after doing a 4-line chain in challenge mode. And then there's Clefaw, Igglybuff, Elekid, and Magby, which all come from hatching eggs. and then a bunch of people use Pokemon against you, but you can't use those Pokemon. It's one of those games that bug me because you can't have like all of the Pokemon. The completionist in me like just screams when I play this game. Thankfully, they did the Virtual Console games right. You got your red, green, or your red, blue, yellow, and your gold, silver, crystal all done properly, and it makes me feel real good and fuzzy and warm inside. All right. What about you, Maximus? What's your favorite spinoff game?
I'm kind of cheating on this front, but all four of these games do the same thing. Okay. This is the main reason why I pick them. Pokemon Stadium, Pokemon Stadium 2. Then we have Pokemon Coliseum. Then we have Pokemon XD. And then we have Battle Revolution.
That's fair. Yeah, so
they all do the same thing. The fact of being able to play not the full play, but seeing our Pokemon on the big screen, not big screen, but on our TVs, fully 3D, and being able to battle other people. Like, their friends can come over with their cards or their games and play with you in a full-fledged battle in 3D. It's just awesome back in the day. Hey. And plus, Pokemon Stadium, the first one in the sequel, they have the mini game, so you got tired of battling and do that. And then my game with the GameCube, which is actually my favorite out of the four, with Pokemon Coliseum and XD, but the story mode with that, I just enjoyed that a lot. And
those were good. Those were fantastic, actually. I remember being incredibly excited when I was a kid and getting Pokemon Coliseum. I think I got it at launch because I read about it in Nintendo Power that were hyping it up. Nintendo Power, by the way, man, that needs to make a comeback. There's actually a guy on Patreon that I keep meaning to subscribe to on Patreon who does like their own Nintendo Power thing now. They're doing like their own like spin-off Nintendo Power. I need to go find out what it is so I can like plug them on the show. But that is actually a fantastic opportunity. I think that's a huge vacuum that at least like us kids probably are nostalgic about to some extent. I don't know if you guys ever had like Nintendo Power magazines, but
nope.
I absolutely
love them. I know exactly what you mean.
I know people who do, but I don't have them personally.
Oh man, I have so many of them. I might go do that. I'm going to check that out again and see if they actually send out print magazines. I'm totally in. I'm in. Like, I'll be there. So we'll see. We'll see, though. But yeah, no, Coliseum was, I remember going and getting that game and just being so hyped for it, especially because it was like a way to get those Gen 2 Pokemon that they had cut me off from.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. That was fantastic. Gen 3, finishing the Pokedex. That was the real challenge. Okay, guys?
Needlessly.
Yeah, it was. Needlessly, the real challenge. It was so bad. At least they realized it in the future. They're just like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have done that. And then they did. Though, to be fair, I don't think they did it well. If I'm looking back at Gen 3 and like how much work I had to go into to complete a national Dex, I think now being able to just grab, you know, all of Gen 7 and be like, okay, I can catch everything in Gen 7. But it's done in the most boring way possible. It's just like, oh, I have to just constantly go into different wormholes to catch this Pokemon. And I don't know. I feel like at that moment, it's just a little bit tedious. At least the other one was just like, oh, I had to go on like three different adventures to go catch all of the Pokemon. The only problem is my wallet didn't appreciate it, but I appreciated it in my heart.
Well, like the best thing to happen in quite a while is probably the Pokemon Bank.
Yes, I agree.
Oh, yeah.
For posterity. Right.
Yeah. No. I with as much grief as like PokeBank gave us when it first was launched back in 2014. As much grief as it gave us, I think that is probably one of the best, if not the best, thing that they've ever added in all of Pokemon. Just because it's done a lot, right? You can now they built it with the future in mind because
you need for this series, really.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we're gonna get PokeBank, you know, 3 months after the launch of the Pokemon game on the Switch.
On the Switch, yep.
Yeah, and we'll get a Switch app for it so that you can transfer between the 3DS and the Switch.
And you knew it was like this really special thing when you were able to have a Pokemon from the original Ruby and Sapphire.
Yeah.
Transfer to Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire.
That was a huge accomplishment.
Wow.
They actually felt bad about that. Like there have been interviews where they felt bad about not being able to bring Gen 2 to Gen 3. Because they're just like, we wanted to do it. There was just no way for us to do it well at the time. And so they said that was one of their biggest regrets, though, is not being able to do that. So I am super happy that Pokebank fixed those issues, though, and brought us back to the modern age. But Maximus is dead on right about stadiums being awesome.
Let's talk about the mini games in Pokemon Stadium for a minute.
Yeah.
That should be its own thing.
Yeah. So I've said this on the show before, and I don't know if you guys were on the show when I said it or if you heard me say it on a show before, but I think that's going to be what they do on the Switch. I honestly do. I think that's the way they're going to do it on the Switch. I don't know if there's going to be like a full-on mini game mode that's separate from the main game, but I think there's going to be something, maybe like the Pokeathlon, some kind of like mini game place that you can go to in the game so that if somebody's sitting on the couch next to you, you can just crack off a Joy-Con and hand it to them.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that is the way to go. I also want to see that. I think that is the way to do it, and also something that needs to happen at the same time. Just it would just be a natural evolution. This is the way for them to make the game multiplayer, quote unquote, without breaking conventions of Pokemon, because I don't think they're going to break too many conventions here. There was that interview that was somewhat there was a statement that was unsubstantiated by some company that does another podcast on YouTube that said that, they're going to try to shake things up like Breath of the Wild shook up Zelda and Mario Odyssey shook up Mario. Though granted, I don't think Mario was
those
a huge
really didn't shake them up. Like, what do you mean?
Exactly.
Follow those formulas.
Yeah. Well, Zelda less though than the normal Zelda, but I don't think Mario Odyssey changed it up too much, right? I thought it was just a good Mario game.
Yeah. But when was the last bad Mario game? Let's be honest. Like, well, Galaxy knocked it out of the park too.
Super Mario 3D World, I think, wasn't that.
That's
great.
Not a main series. Wait, that's in my that's mind. Not a main Whatever. Range. Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, exactly. I agree with you. The reason it did so well is because it was like the last game since, like, I wouldn't even argue that Galaxy was in that vein, just because Galaxy didn't have the open-ish world aspect that you got in, what's it called, in Odyssey or Sunshine. Because I can, like, run around, like, hub worlds and everything, but in like Odyssey and in Mario, like when you go into the other worlds, you definitely have some more autonomy than you did in Galaxy. But this isn't a Mario podcast. We won't go into that. we won't go into that one. But I think those three games, I think, are honestly treasures that people have missed out on. Honestly, they could do a really awesome thing on the Virtual Console where they bring back Stadium, and they'll probably make some money on it, right? Pokemon Stadium, Pokemon Stadium 2, and then you let people use the virtual consoles from their 3DS on it, just like back in the day. I think that would be really silly. There's probably a way to work it out, and it's probably worth more work than it's worth, but it would be interesting to see that happen. I think that's where we'll wrap it up. And we're going to go to commercial break, guys, and we will be back with Pokemon of the episode. Until then, we will catch you on the flip-flop.
Are you craving some tasty tidbits of Timpole? Have you been dreaming of deli bird deli sandwiches? What about some of the softest slowpoke tails around? Well, head on over to the Rhyhorn Steakhouse, where you can pick up all these items and more for $5.99 and higher. Also, check out our new Corsola Cola fountain drinks. They won't make your gums bleed. Head on over to the Rhyhorn Steakhouse, where if it moves, we'll serve it.
Poke of the Episode. And welcome back, guys, to the Pokemon of the Episode. We are looking at today National Dex number 471, Glaceon, the fresh snow Pokemon.
Its Ultra Sun Pokedex entry states that it protects itself by freezing its fur into sharp needles. It can drop its body temperature below 75 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's negative, folks. That's cold.
That's actually colder than, I think, if you do the math, I think that's colder than 75 degrees Celsius. Negative 75 degrees Celsius. That is lower. I have to remember. I don't remember. I'm dumb. So it's fine. I don't know my math. I don't know my math with temperatures. Fahrenheit's a stupid scale. Let's all go to Celsius. It's fine. however, Glaceon is it might be a cold Pokemon, but it's a pile of hot garbage in the competitive scene. But tis. See what I did there? I made a joke about temperatures. So on the outside looking in, Glaceon seems it wouldn't be too bad. It's an Eevee evolution. It's got that base stat total of 525 with a 130 allocated in special attack, a defense of base 110, a special defense of base 95. And then you go, Thatch, but where's the problem? And I go, it's in its base 65 HP, its base 60 attack, and its base 65 speed. And also how it's a pure ice type. The one typing that literally gets no resistance to anything but other ice types.
So, probably the worst type defensively.
Defensively, ice type is the worst type. It is.
So they put all the good stats on the things it can't use.
Yes. They put it all on its defenses. If they would have like put the 110 in speed and
that would be better,
and the 130 in special attack, it might be usable. Though yeah, that I think that's the spread for usable. I think that was the spread for Espeon, so I don't think they wanted to reuse it. So that creates more problems. That base 65 speed just kills it, man. And yeah. on top of that, it's an evolution, so its move pool isn't that deep. You're looking at, you know, typical ice-type moves like Ice Fang, which is a physical move. It gets Blizzard, Ice Beam, Shadow Ball. But, it's an evolution, so these things don't really add up that well.
Shallow move pool on the evolutions in general.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, why did this thing not get Refrigerate? Just based on all these Pokédex entries.
Right? Wouldn't that be great? If it just got that, but instead I think it gets Ice Body as its hidden ability, which is essentially Dry Skin, but for ice types and hail. So it regains health and hail.
Yeah, but it doesn't absorb ice moves though. That's a
no, it doesn't. It's not exactly a 1-to-1, but
nothing absorbs ice moves actually.
No, it shouldn't.
It's one of the few types that has no immunities.
Mm-hmm. It's really bad.
Ice typing is really good.
It's a really good offensive type.
It's great offensively, yeah.
It's just defensively, it's awful. It's such a bad type defensively. Like, you want to use ice type moves. You don't want to be an ice type Pokemon.
And you know what Eeveelution can do that? Vaporeon.
Yes, it can.
the real ice type Eeveelution. We were joking on the TCG cast.
The good one. So if you do want to run Glaceon in the video game, you'd probably best do it in the PU format where Glaceon is. However, if you're going to be playing against those Pokemon, you're looking at a heap of trouble in the viability and usage rankings for the PU tier. Well, we have a list of threats. So first of all, we have S-ranked Archaeops. Archaeops is a rock type. It's going to be super effective for your Glaceon, and it's definitely going to go first. Following that in the A-plus rank, you have Ferroseed, which is just going to hurt. Magmortar, you have Pyroar. These are all things that are just going to hurt it. You've got Machamp, Girder, Primeape, a bunch of fighting types in this tier. And so these are just huge problems for Glaceon to handle. So that's other things. Also, you're also in a tier that's already flooded with ice types because this is where all of the substandard ice types have come. Because ice typing turns out isn't a good type. As we were just
Regice is in that tier, isn't
it? Regice is in this tier. It's already ranked higher than it in the viability rankings. You have Articuno in this tier, which is double weak to rocks. Yeah.
Wait, Articuno's in this tier?
Articuno's in PU.
Articuno
right now
is like the ugly stepchild of the legendary birds.
Yes.
We don't talk about it.
Yeah, we don't.
Really, I thought that would have been Moltres, honestly.
No, Moltres is quite good. Yeah.
Alolan Sandslash has been banished to the PU. So we've just got a ton of ice types down here.
Yep.
And they're all fantastic, but you just got a ton of them. And they all outshine Glaceon. And there's nowhere further that Glaceon can fall. But if you're going to try to do it anyway, guys, let me give you some advice. Glaceon is probably best used as like a choice specs mon. You want to use your Ice Beam, the Shadow Ball move that it gets, some kind of hidden power, probably fighting so that it can handle things like Ferroseed so it can't get walled. And then you can, of course, go and throw Frost Breath on it as well, which is almost a good move. And then you want to go Modest probably because Timid isn't going to help that base 65 speed go anywhere. And you're going to go 252 special attack, 252 speed, and throw that 4 in defense because that's just way better than the 4 in the special defensive base. What is it, 95 versus 110? That's where you want it, guys. That's what you want to do. That's my speech on Glaceon. But Glaceon, however, is redeemed in the trading card game as of Ultra Prism.
And actually, it had a really good EX card now that I think about it.
Yeah,
it did.
The EX card was just as good as the GX card, in my opinion.
And it's still in rotation, so you could use both.
Yeah, absolutely. Sublime, go ahead and tell us about that GX card.
Let's start with the GX because I'm looking the EX up still. So, Glaceon GX just came out. Go get it. It's going to be played for sure.
Absolutely.
Yes, it's a stage 1 GX, right? It has 200 HP, and what's really awesome is its ability Freezing Gate, which reads, as long as this Pokemon is your active Pokemon, your opponent's Pokemon GX and Pokemon EX in play, in their hand, and in their discard pile have no abilities except for Freezing Gate. So because it evolves from Eevee, and there's that Eevee that can evolve turn 1 when you attach an energy...
Mm-hmm.
You could put Glaceon as your active Pokemon on turn 1. Now, if you go first, that means before your opponent even has a chance, you can shut off all of their EX and GX abilities, and that includes such popular Pokemon as Tapu Lele.
Mostly Tapu Lele.
Yeah, it also shuts down.
I think there's a
Zoroark, right? There's a lot of card draw right now comes from Pokemon.
Yeah, Zoroark.
And this shuts it all down.
Does it shut off all abilities, or is it just GX and EX?
GX and EX, but like the Zoroark is a GX.
Yeah,
the Lele is a GX.
I mean, you're still seeing a lot of play with the, what's it called, the Octillery. You see a lot of play with those.
But that's not as effective.
No, I agree. It's not nearly as effective as using Zoroark.
And so we have its attack, Frost Bullet, which is water and 2 colorless energy, which does 90 and then 30 to a benched Pokemon. That attack has existed before. It's not impressive anymore, but... for the ability attached to it, that's not bad.
No, not at all.
And then its GX attack is called Polar Spear, which is the same price, and it does 50 damage for each damage counter on your opponent's active. So once you've attacked at all or done pretty much any damage to something, that's going to KO.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a decent card. It's not bad.
It's a very good card. It's a good card. It's legitimately a good card, Thatch. I gave it a super effective rating on the TCG cast.
Okay. I would have given it like a 75% super effective. It's not like... Only because I don't think it's a card that is... it's something that you're going to build a deck just for Glaceon. I feel like it's going to be Glaceon plus something else.
For sure. I mean? But like, if Glaceon's a part of the winning formula... Glaceon's
winner. I agree. I just feel like Glaceon's the magic formula for making something else better. Like, I think you could go ahead and take maybe Alolan Ninetales and like add Glaceon to it and work with that.
For sure.
I think that might be something you want to do.
Or right now what is seeing some interest is Glaceon plus Decidueye. Mm-hmm. Because that Frost Bullet attack can target the bench and so does Decidueye's ability.
Yeah, that's
I was just talking to Gator and Jashira about this right now before we started recording. The next set that's coming out is going to have Greninja GX because we can't give him enough love in the TCG.
We can't give him enough love in general. He's like the new Charizard, right?
Ugh. Anyway, which does damage just when you play it, a lot like the Golbat and Crobat line.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Glaceon will see some success.
Absolutely. I think we'll definitely see a Glaceon deck like pop up at the next tournament, the next regional in Top Cut. I think you could definitely see that. So that is going to be it for Glaceon. It is an evolution that is a Pokemon that has good cards. Well, I guess the EX card as well. The EX card's not bad.
Oh, yeah. Let's go over that super quick.
It's honestly all about that second attack because there's a Jolteon EX that does the opposite of what this one does.
Right.
So Jolteon EX, I believe it's an electric energy and double colorless, will go ahead and one of the attacks does like, I think it's like 70 or 80, or maybe I'm wrong. And it can't take damage from basic Pokemon. And the Glaceon's the opposite.
Prevents all damage from evolution Pokemon, right?
Which is more prominent now than... So the Jolteon was really good before we started getting into GX Pokemon because the Jolteon, you were playing against a lot of EX mons. Those are all basics. And so Jolteon could almost shut off an entire deck such as Volcanion. It could shut off Volcanion in its entirety. Now you can go ahead and actually take on this Glaceon, and it'll shut off things like Gardevoir. It'll shut off things. I don't even know what else. Gardevoir, Metagross, which isn't as popular, but it'll shut off a lot of things.
A lot of things.
Yeah. And you can even combine that again with the Alolan Ninetales. Not the GX Alolan Ninetales, but the baby Alolan Ninetales. I forget which set. I believe that's from Burning Shadows.
Yeah, I think you're correct.
And that one shuts off the EX and GX attacks. EX and GX like Pokemon. It can't take damage from them. Though the Dialga from Shining Legends gets by that. Fun fact.
But no one will be using that either. So.
I actually have fun running it in a variation of the Duskmane Necrozma deck. There's enough room for just like one Dialga because that GX attack is so much fun. Because you get an extra turn if you put off the GX attack. It just goes back to
your turn. Yes, for 5 energy, you can get an extra
turn. Yeah, and with Magnezone attaching for free, it's easy to do. You don't do it like early game, you do it like mid game.
There's better choices.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But this is way more fun. Take it for what you will. All right, so that is going to be our Glaceon for the episode. So, yeah, we will catch you guys. We're going to kick it on over to the mailbag then, guys. So let's go on over to that mailbag.
It's mail time! It's time for the mailbag! Send in your emails! The mail's here! Check your inbox! It's time for the mailbag! Mail!
And welcome to the mailbag. As always, the mailbag is brought to you by the energy drink, Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves!
Oh, that was a solid one. Man, that was my favorite one. Let's just do that again. that was really good. But either way, if you are new to the show, this is the part of the show where we read listener emails. You can send us an email at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. At the same time, of the emails we're reading, we pick about 3 every week, though if there's more good ones, we'll go ahead and do it. So if we didn't read your email this week, we apologize. Please don't let that discourage you from sending emails in the future. We really like hearing from you guys, and I read every single one of them, I promise. But we're going to go ahead and read a few emails today. We will be giving out the coveted Green Tauros badge role on our Discord server. So if you want to look green and look flashy and pop up in front of other people, you can do that by winning the Green Tauros badge. The way you do that is by encouraging the best discussion between the co-host in your email, asking us questions, giving us time to think about our thoughts. So we're going to go ahead and open this up with 10 little men. All 10 of them wrote in. Oh, well, if it isn't the Magnificent Maximus, the Sensational Sublime, and the Treasonous Thatch. 10 Little Men is back again once again to answer this week's mailbag question. I'm excited to finally be back in the mailbag game, but before I begin to answer the mailbag question, I must fix the grievous falsehood that Thatch tried to spread in last week's episode. Pokemon 2000 is a good movie. After all, it's pretty dang groovy. However, Spell of the Known is the best. That's a fact which all experts attest. With that off my chest, I should probably begin answering the mailbag question. In an attempt to keep this email short and sweet, I should say what I find to be important in a region. You guys didn't really touch on them in the last episode, but one of the things I value highly in a region is the quantity and quality of the region's dungeons. For example, for caves, Jagged Path, the Abandoned Ship, and more, it is packed to the brim. Oh wait, I skipped a line. For example, Hoenn has a solid number of great unique areas. Meteor Falls, Petalburg Woods, Mount Pyre, Shoal Cave, Jagged Path, and the Abandoned Ship, and more. It's packed to the brim with really interesting and diverse areas. On the flip side of this is Sinnoh. You spend half of the game in one mountain, and most of the game feels very samey as a result of this. Most of the unique areas that jump out to me in Sinnoh are all awful to actually traverse. Snow, swamps, Solosian ruins, the Foggy Route, the Fugo Ironworks are all really cool, but also incredibly frustrating to navigate. All the caves look the same, all the lakes are basically copy-pasted, and it gives the whole world a really lame feeling to explore. Well, wasn't really short at all, and maybe a bit too negative. Sorry about that. The underground is better than secret bases, though. 20 geocache flip-flops, 10 little men burrowed away. Honestly, he's not wrong. I take all of those points. Like, he's right. Gen 3 beats Gen 4 in terms of, like, diversity of dungeons.
Although Petalburg Woods is not unique.
I agree. I felt Petalburg Woods felt exactly like Eterna Forest from Gen 2.
Which felt exactly like the Viridian Forest, which felt exactly like Ilex Forest.
Which felt exactly like that one forest in Gen 6.
Like, the forest is not exciting.
It's the forest before the first gym, yeah, pretty much.
That was his one falsehood, so therefore everything else is false. All right, so this next email is going to be from Uncle Oshawott. I think this is for you, Maximus.
Yes, it is. Let's see. Pokemon give and Pokemon taketh away. This is a saying we fans have learned to know, though maybe not love. Every generation, Pokemon has brought with it a slew of new features and content, only to have it retcon come next generation. We Pokemon fans have gotten used to this system by now, but it's not to say that we do not wish for old content to come back. I personally have become accustomed to this system. So, the big thing I want to come back from previous generations may not be all that grand, per se. The thing I want back in my Pokemon games isn't really from any one specific generation. Breaks in the fourth wall. What I meant are the encounters such as signs that tell you to throw Pokeballs, not the game. Game Freak having an in-game location, and yes, in line dancing men being aware that they are literally only there to act as an invisible wall. This meta humor is one thing that really makes a Pokemon game for me, and has been mostly absent from Gen 6 onwards. It may have seemed like a stupid thing to want, but hey, there's only so much you can wish for in a game about catching animals in balls. That's pretty much on the boring wish list of what I want in Generation 8, besides, of course, Super Training. I look forward to seeing what everyone else in the community has to say on the subject as well. I kind of like a Battle Frontier 2. Hey, Oshawott, I'm with you on that.
Oh, man, we'd all want that.
Well, with that being said, I, Uncle Oshawott, wish you adieu. Why am I thinking of all these other things I want to do by now? And have a great day, Puckle.
Well, thank you to Uncle Oshawott for that. No, he's not wrong. Like, Battle Frontier would be, like, number one on wish list. Like, not, I think we talked about it last episode, but specifically the one from Gen 3. Like, Pokemon Emerald Frontier. The one from Gen 4 was not that great. The one from Gen 3 was fantastic, though. That one was just, like, spot on, great, and then they messed it up.
And they had the nerve to tease it, too. I'm saying, like,
The fact that they even mentioned it in Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, like, it would have been one thing if they wouldn't have mentioned it. But yeah. Then they go and they mentioned it. And I'm just like, don't do that, guys. Don't do that. You're gonna... There was actually some theory that if you, like, waited on the game for, like, a certain amount of days, like, that it would actually come back out. And I'm like, this is a Mew under the truck criteria here. It was just so bad. That was me.
Same to the game corner. But mm-hmm. The thing is, I understand why that was taken out.
Yeah, they did that because they got in trouble for a lot of gambling things.
Mm-hmm. For legal reasons.
Wasn't even legal things. It was like, it was something to do with, like, the rating they would have gotten if they would have left it in. And they want Pokemon to be, like, rated E for everyone, right?
It has to be, right?
And if you put that in there, apparently it would have been, like, in Europe, it would have gotten a higher rating. And so they got rid of it because of that.
Wait, quick question. Was the Game Corner in red, blue, silver, and gold in the re-releases ever changed?
Yeah, no, it's still in the re-releases because I'm Nuzlocking yellow version right now. And so you can...
You want that Dratini, don't you?
Well, there's no Dratini in yellow version at the game corner. It's like, I forget what it is. It's like Porygon, Scyther, Pinsir, and something else.
And Abra?
Yeah, Abra.
No Abra in yellow.
Yellow's weird.
Yeah, yellow's weird about it. But the thing is, you can hack these systems, essentially, because I've seen a lot of things where it's just random chance and, like, getting coins and stuff like that. That's not true. What you do...
It's a pattern.
Well, so if you're playing the game, what you do is the slot machine changes, but there's usually one or two lucky ones in the casino at a time. And so what you do is you go get, like, 500 coins, and what you do is you sit down and you play four games on each machine. And if you win two times within those four games... just keep going. because it means that machine is probably lucky and you're just going to make it, you're going to make out like a bandit. And like, I've done this before. If you're at a certain machine, you can sit there and just like farm coins the entire time. So just keep that in mind. It's slow, but it works. Yeah. It's definitely a thing you can do. But moving on then, I guess we'll go on to hens. This one's for you, Sublime.
Yes. All right, Puckle, it's hens here. And first of all, before I bore you all on why Johto is by far the best region, I just need to ask, who is hyped for Piddle Season 2? I am, and this time the Scythers will be drafting some proper synergy rather than just some fun things like Mew and Conkeldurr. Anyway, now I said that I might as well answer the mailbag question and tell you all the best part of Johto, which did I mention is the best region. So I think Johto is great, just in case you didn't catch on. We get steel types day and night, and even Pokemon walking behind us. In fact, you can catch an awesome Scyther in the bug catching contest early in the game. So plenty of reasons to like it, but one of the greatest things about that game is the way it links up with another region. Honestly, the only game with passage into another region, arguably two regions if we consider the Sinnoh Ruins event in the Gen 4 remakes with Cynthia, but enough of that. You can go to another region. And if that wasn't enough, who didn't love having an epic battle against themselves from the first game on top of a treacherous snowy mountain at the end? Now that is the best part of the Johto region, an epic finale to a journey across two entire regions. So with that, I end my mailbag. But for you spectacular hosts and co-hosts, I have a question. If you could join two regions together for one game, which would you choose? And then, at the end, which rival / champion from other games would you like to battle with, like, Red on Mount Silver?
Ooh,
and that's it. Hope you enjoyed. All the best, Puckalonians, and I hope you have a great week, Hens.
Okay, so let's answer that first one. If you could join two regions in one game, which ones would you choose? I personally think I would take... I honestly want, like, Alola and Kanto again. Like, I want an updated Kanto from, you know, a couple years after Johto or Gold and Silver take place. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Though, I don't think you could properly give me Kanto without me being peeved that I can't go to Johto.
Yeah.
So, that's one thing to watch out for.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to do it, why not both? Right? Why not both? What about you guys? Which two would you, like, put together?
Unova and Kalos.
You're wrong.
Black to white to Unova.
Okay, maybe.
I had a good dex.
Yeah, okay. I'll take black to white.
If that's your big
too.
Criticism of Unova, we'll just do the updated version.
The one that's not garbage. Complete garbage. It's just a circle. It's not fun.
The map's but it's not like, fun. There's a lot of cool locations. Like, Chargestone Cave is still my favorite cave to this day.
That is probably the best cave that ever existed. You are right. What about you, Maximus? Which two would you put together?
Hoenn and Alola. That way people will stop complaining about the whole water aspect.
You could surf from Hoenn to Alola.
Can we do that on the back of a Mantine, but it's like a 30-minute Mantine surf?
Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be awful.
It would be awful.
That would be awful. A 30-minute Mantine surf. Like, I feel like it's already just, like, a little too long. This is, like, a little bit. Just a little. All right. And then the last question is, which rival / champion from other games would you like to battle, like, Red on Mount Silver? I don't know. I don't think anything could top Red, personally.
Silver.
I don't think so. I wish they would have expanded on the story a little bit more.
Here's my vision. Here's my vision. Team Rocket. Go into other regions, kind of like we had with Rainbow Rocket.
Yeah.
Except it's not Giovanni, it's Silver.
But Silver doesn't like Team Rocket. Like, that's been confirmed.
Okay, but maybe he's, like, making his own thing. I don't know. He's, like, the last good rival. He's the last good rival.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I agree with that.
And Blue already had his moment, so let's give it to Silver.
Honestly, let's make a game that's just like the manga, please. Thank you. And because, like, the Gold Silver manga just gets crazy with, like, Silver's backstory and everything and how Team Rocket operates. Like, you don't get Team Rocket, you get Neo Team Rocket. And, like, there's another guy who's kind of like gets this, like, running the show from the back, and it's crazy. So give me that. Definitely give me that. What about you, Maximus? Who would you, which champion would you battle again?
You know what? I'll go. Since you already, I don't want to copy you guys, so I'm going to say Cynthia. She's, like, besides those two, like, she's one of the most prestigious champions out there. Everybody knows her. Everybody loves her. I think everybody would agree. So Cynthia is probably one of the top.
You're not wrong. You're right. You're right.
She's very popular.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so that's going to be it for the mailbag here today, guys. But before we go, we should pick a mailbag or like a Green Tauros badge winner. So who do you guys think? Who do you guys like?
I'm thinking Ten Little Men because he actually recognized every co-host on this episode, which means he's looking at the sheet. So kudos to you, Ten Little Men.
That's not exactly fair. If he's looking at the sheet, and some people don't have access to the sheet, though.
If you have access to email, you have access to the internet, so you have access to the sheet.
You actually do have access to the sheet. It's public to be able to view it. Huh. I posted it in the Discord server. Fun fact.
That's why it's... Okay, now, I was wondering why that was a little weird.
Yeah, that's how he knows.
Yeah, and that's, like, I admire that. So, like, good for you, Ten Little Men. That was, like, putting in the extra step for me.
Doesn't Ten Little Men already have it, though?
No. So we rebooted it.
Oh.
For the year. Like, every year it's going to be a different one.
Oh.
We're making people re-earn it every year. You gotta up your badge notifications, you know? Or your qualifications. I mean, I'm okay with Ten Little Men.
That's fine, then.
Yeah, all right. Ten Little Men. We'll hand that out to you here in a little bit. And so if you guys want to try again next week, you guys can go ahead and email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. Our prompt for next week is going to be like, what is your favorite spinoff game? Let us know why and what it is. So that is next week's email. Of course, you can always check out Puckle for everything else it is. You can check us out on our Discord. The link to the invite link to our Discord server is in the show notes, as always. You can also, of course, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Reddit. All those links are on our website, pucklepodcast.com, which is now operational. I have fought with that thing for so long, and I'm almost done. And finally, you can, of course, check us out on Twitch. Only Jushiro at the moment. I believe Scrawn and Shamu are going to be popping in from time to time, but unfortunately I'm out of the rotation for the time being until my thesis is done. That is the punishment I've given myself. But that is at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. And if you would like to support the show monetarily, there's a couple ways you guys can go ahead and do that. One, you can check us out on TeePublic, where you can buy t-shirts of awesome things like Altaria Air and Toxa Pepsi and Diet Corsola Cola and stuff like that. It's fantastic. And, of course, if you wanted to more directly help the show out, you can, go to our Patreon, patreon.com/PucklePodcast, where there's a bunch of cool rewards. Like, you can get Puckle TCG cards if you got to collect them all. You should get in there soon, because if you don't do it soon, you're not going to be able to get them all, because I don't know when I'm doing reprints, because it's hard to do reprints. All right, though, guys, but that is everything. So, I guess here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, I'm Trainer Thatch.
I'm Mr. Maximus.
And I'm Sublime Manic.
And it's closing time. As always, I would like to thank our patrons who make this show possible. So let's get started. Thanks to Dark Flame, Ten Little Men, Duly Noted, Andrea, The Fluffiest Whimsicott, Shamu, Mongo87, Snag, Jushiro, Bosifus, Alvarin, Seth Vilo, Minor Manetric, Claude9, Chris, John, R Sigma, Doc McStuffles, Jestern, The Golden Klefki, Uncle Oshawa, Trevor, TJ, Dexio, Ryusei, Shambles, Birdkeeper Cobra, Richard, Daniel, Treby, Greg, Alec, Mikey, Kevin, Kenneth, Matt, Bob, Brian, Rotted Mushroom, Orange Avenger, Thomas, Jedi DJ, Antonio, Dennis, Anime Gravy, Travis, Mark, Beaverla, Inferno, David, and The Real EV. Thanks to all of you guys. Without you, the show wouldn't be able to be as awesome as it is, and we hope to keep making it more awesome in the future. So we will catch you guys on the flip-flop.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.